The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, welcome everybody out there in Radio Land. I am your host, George Williams. And first of all, I would like to wish everyone a very happy, happy, happy 2021 New Year. It's been kind of quiet doing this celebration because of COVID. And I know I stayed around the house, okay? I really didn't go anyplace. I watched it from the from home and watched the TV, and it was kind of sad. But hey, because of what's happening here in the world, not just the U.S. with this COVID, I applaud people who stay home. But there are some reports, folks, that the COVID numbers are going up because those who didn't listen, who didn't wear masks, and who went out celebrating. A lot of them are coming down with the COVID. So, hey, you bring it on your own, you know. You bring it on your own. Well, our number here is 251-343-0106. And we are so glad to be coming here in a new year, 2021, folks. 2021. We hope that by the time this year ends, all of this COVID is out of the way, okay? It is over with, and we can go back to our normal lives because I've lost a lot of friends, And here's that's a fact. Only about 6 to 9% of the people who died were actually ones who died from COVID. The rest had other aligning ailments that caused that. COVID caused it, but, you know. And speaking of persons dying, Joe Clark, the principal at Eastside High School. Now, I sub-taught at Eastside High School when Joe Clark was there. Fantastic guy. He was an Army veteran. And he came. He was a principal. I'm not the gym teacher at school number 4, and that was my elementary school in Paterson, New Jersey. We call it a grammar school. That's where I graduated from the 8th grade going into the 9th. And Joe Clark was a gym teacher there. And then when Frank Napier, the superintendent, who was my 5th grade teacher, who hired Joe Clark, and Frank Napier was played by Ben, what's his name? The one who hired Ben Vereen, and he played Frank Napier's part, and Morgan Freeman played Joe Clark. Now, I saw Joe Clark about a year and a half ago. He lived in Ocala with his daughter, and he looked pretty good then when I saw him. And what a guy though. And people don't know it. They say, why? He's got the bullhorn and he's got the baseball bat. Well, when I was a sub-teacher there, I was a cop. And I had my weapon every day. And the kids knew that. They knew me as Officer William. But Joe, he wasn't. So he said, I got this bat to defend myself because we had some rough dudes at Eastside High School. Now, when I went to school, I went to the Central High, which was the rival school. And Eastside High School was the top school almost in the state, where they had all the doctors and lawyers and everybody. And by the time I got out of high school, joined the Marine Corps in Vietnam and came back, when I came back, Eastside High School was terrible, terrible. I mean, it was unbelievable, the change with Eastside High School. Nothing but a bunch of thugs there. And Dr. Napier, he was an Army vet also. And he hired Joe from School 4. Well, he made Joe the principal of School 4 because he was the principal. He was a fifth grade teacher, and then he became the vice principal and the principal. And Joe was the gym teacher. So when he left to go to the assistant superintendent of Patterson School District, Joe Clark became the principal. And he needed somebody tough at Eastside, okay? And the person who he chose was Joe Clark. Now, there was another guy there. His name is Richie Sansalverina. He was the vice principal. He was an Italian guy. Tough. And a lot of the students couldn't pronounce his name, Mr. Sansalverina. So his name was Mr. S. Mr. S. That's what they used to call him, Mr. S. But he was tough like Joe Clark. And I was in Patterson. I was with the federal government. And I was there when they were doing some of the filming. And the sad thing is when I look at the movie Lean on Me, somebody else played Richie Sansalverina. He was a vice principal. And he died just before they finished filming that. And that's my sad memory of the vice principal, Richie Sansalverina, when the movie was being filmed and when the movie is completed. So to Joe's family, our condolences, and he was a good man, a very good man. All right, folks, we're going to play for you, Mr. Let's play Dick Morris, folks. We play him every week, and he's got some very important information we're going to talk about. We're going to have a couple of guests to talk about the election in Georgia and the ride for the big rally tomorrow in D.C. Regarding President Trump. Okay? So here's Dick Morris, folks.
A group of data scientists found that in Georgia, 12,173 votes were switched from Trump to Biden at 9:11 p.m. on election night. They said that this is a clear example of vote switching. At 9:11 p.m. local time on election night, Trump received 29,381 votes, as Biden simultaneously received 17,208 in Bibb County. However, in the next reported time update, Trump's votes became 17,218 and Biden's changed to 29,391. In other words, in 1 hour, one period, several minutes, Trump's vote went from 29,000 extra to 17 extra, and Biden's went from 17 extra to 29 extra. And in that single event, 12,173 votes switched in Georgia, almost equal to the margin by which Biden supposedly carried the state. For once, the examiners explained in real English what goes on that can cause this vote flipping. They said that consider your own bank account if you have more than one account. You go online and you click on your name and your password, and your accounts come up on the screen. And the software enables you to say, I want to take $100 from my savings account and put it in my checking account. And it's that simple to switch votes on the voting systems that were in place in Georgia, the experts say. So in addition to all the other evidence of phony ballots, forged signatures, people who had died, who voted, we have this, a flip of 12,173 votes in Georgia, a state Biden only carried by 12,000 and change. Stay well, and thank you.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris. And let me tell you something. That is a very important statement by Dick Morris, because it just tells you about the corruption in Georgia, not only in Georgia, but some of the other states also. It is unbelievable, and we cannot let them get away with this. And tomorrow in Washington, we're hoping they have a million people there. in support of President Trump in this election, because it's being stolen from the Republicans. It's unbelievable. It's been stolen. So there's still a few options that we have, but it's going to be a nice rally tomorrow in D.C. in support of President Trump. And then we're going to have somebody, Ms. Leticia Jones, to call in and give us an on-site update on the election. She's been in Georgia. You know, she's been there for about a month and a half, folks. And or 2 months, she's been there helping with the campaign. All right, folks, we'll be right back with our first guest right after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to get right into it with our first guest, and he really needs no introduction, but he is, I will call him Dr. Lou Campomenosa. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, George. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it very much, and certainly loved hearing what you were talking about with Joe Clark and your reminiscences of him. But the fact of the matter is that individuals like Joe Clark are the bread and butter of making sure schools can function. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to have today. People who are willing to stand up and say no and not be persuaded by, you know, bullying from the parents, bullying from, you know, interest groups, from politicians. To stand up and just say no. That's what's necessary. And I think that the model of Joe Clark doing what he did is certainly a testament to the fact that it can be done if you have the will to do it and you've got the support of the people who are involved with the school. I think it's a great thing that you talked about, what he did. And I think we need to take note of people like Joe Clark who have risked a lot, but they have been successful in taking those risks, and that's a great story. So thank you for bringing him up.
Thank you, Dr. Lou, and I really mean that. And he was such a great guy. And let me tell you something: things have changed so much. Even growing up in Paterson, New Jersey, when I left Daphne, my family, going there, and it is, and the situation between then and now is unbelievable, Doctor. Okay, crime is
exactly.
Rampant. Crime is rampant. The schools, when you go in these schools, you don't know who the teacher and who the students are. Okay, because of the fact that the students are all over the school, all over the teacher's desk, and there's no discipline. And when I went in the Marine Corps. And you were also in the Marine Corps when the first thing the Marine Corps did was take all of your manhood away and make sure when you came back you were a disciplined Marine, okay?
Exactly.
And able to work together, because without discipline there's no learning, and you know that, and you're in a college professor, so you know that.
Exactly. And the point is really that if the classroom does not have discipline and order, there's no learning that's going to go on. And everyone knows that. And yet we see time and time again agencies like the Southern Poverty Law Center intervening, threatening lawsuits at Mobile County Board of Education because they're not, they're overusing, in their view, suspension. Well, you know what? If these little idiots can't behave, then, you know, they should be punished. And there are priority punishments. There's a stepping stone. You can do all of that. But in the end, they cannot get away with just, you know, infraction after infraction that's taking away the right of that kid sitting next to him to learn something. And that's outrageous. And that is what is going on. And unfortunately, it's going on across the country. And we've got to stop it.
I agree. But under this so-called new administration and under the Democrats, that's not going to happen, Doc. You know,
well, I mean, no, George, a lot of this started with Obama, though.
Right.
Because they changed the rules of they enforced. They wanted to take away the right of the school principals and other disciplinarians to really enforce the discipline that's necessary to make learning possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that is unforgivable, and you're still dealing with it today.
I agree. Yeah. All right, Doc, I appreciate those comments. That's very important, coming from someone who's been in the classroom setting ever since you retired from the Marine Corps. And And I tell you, our audience, who our parents should be listening to this, and our teachers and our administrators, so we can bring discipline back to the schools. And that's all over. The Catholic schools are much better. I know I took my kids out of public school and put them in a Catholic school. Okay.
Well, I mean, the Catholic schools, to go to Catholic schools, the parents have to sign an agreement that they essentially waive their rights to do all sorts of stupid things that a lot of parents do. Because Sally and Johnny are angels, and by goodness, these teachers don't know what they're doing to say anything bad about our kids.
True.
So, I mean, once you've established the fact that the discipline code is going to be enforced, then you have a chance to learn.
Right.
I mean, really, and to say the truth, and when I was the principal at Ascension Catholic School, we had, you know, we had recruited heavily in all the surrounding parishes,
mm-hmm.
and the black parents came to our school because they didn't want their kids to be social experiments in failing public schools.
Right.
And that is a real issue.
Right.
So, you know, I've been there, done that, and I think I understand some of this. But you know what, George? These kinds of issues about school and all like that, it's now translating into the greater public problems that we're seeing. Because the schools lack discipline, the kids lack discipline, the home life has broken down in many cases. And the next thing you know, these people are going out and being recruited by Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And those kinds of things have topsy-turvy our social discourse, the whole question of social cohesion, because these people are getting away with the kinds of things that in a real law and order, you know, society, they shouldn't be able to do. Classic case, look at Seattle. Look at Portland.
Right.
Look at what happened in Minneapolis.
Right.
And the combination of a breakdown in society linked to these kinds of undisciplined kids and fomented by, you know, these radical leftists, all of a sudden you've got a brew that is going to be extremely difficult to stop from going even further than what they're doing now, because these BLMs and Antifa people, they really do want to tear down this country. And people like you and I are going to be there to say no.
Right.
But, you know, until other people start listening to what we're saying, and maybe the Portland mayor, George, I heard him on radio the other day. He finally said that Antifa has gone too far. And they declared a riot, I guess, on New Year's Eve when they were out there doing bad things.
Right.
They said it's a riot, and they started arresting them. Why didn't they do that during the summer?
Correct.
Because it's all political.
Correct. So, Correct. Let me tell you something. You were talking about that. And the same at Eastside High School, one of our tackles, I'll say his name is Don, okay? That's his first name. I won't pronounce his last name. He was a teacher. He was a tackle on our football team over at Central High School in Patterson. So after college, he went to Eastside to become a teacher. Now, Donnie's a bad dude, okay? Bad dude. And so he was disciplined. This was a principal before Joe Clark at Eastside. And Donnie was disciplining these kids. And so the vice principal didn't like it. And so you know what Donnie did? He quit. And he got on the police force. He became a cop. I mean, he told the kids in this class, he said, now, okay, I tried to, you know, teach you and you didn't want to listen and all that. But when you get back out, I'm a cop now. When you get back on the street, there ain't nobody but you and me. Okay. And he became the deputy chief of the police department. So that's my real good buddy, Don. And that's the way it is.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. That's
all right.
Story too, Joe.
That's true. And that's a true fact. So, Doc, there's a big rally tomorrow.
Yeah, and Common Sense Campaign sent a busload up to Washington, D.C., meeting up with several other buses coming out of Jasper, Alabama, and other people who've flown up. And what we're trying to do is get them all linked up tomorrow morning so that we'll have a fairly large Alabama contingent up there.
Okay.
And I think there's a little safety in numbers, but I think that Alabama's going to be well represented up there tomorrow.
Great, great. I heard the mayor of D.C. didn't like it, and she's done a few things to try and interfere with that.
I've heard that she's not going to put out porta potties and things like that. So
right.
We'll see how all this turns out, George. But you know, the real question is the degree to which she's going to actually protect the legitimate protesters who are making a statement about a stolen election. And the question of whether it is stolen or not, I think, is long gone. It was stolen, and the degree to which, you know, all of these irregularities and all of these unconstitutional, you know, approaches that were done are going to come out in full force when the Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate lay out the case against what happened in the November election. And I'm excited to hear what they're going to say. Because people like Ted Cruz, they understand the law, they understand what went wrong, and they can articulate it in a way that the mass media is not going to be able to hide. It's going to be broadcast, and people are going to find out the truth for once.
Okay. We have about 15 more seconds before we go into our second break here. Can you hold on until after the break, and then we'll let you continue?
Yeah, George, I can hold on for a little while. I've got a Zoom meeting in just a little while, but I'd be glad to come back on for a while.
Okay, and we're going to have a second guest, too. So if you've got that Zoom meeting, our second guest is supposed to be calling in at from Georgia. So go ahead and have your meeting.
Okay,
we'll have you back on.
I'll go ahead and wrap it up now. And listen, I appreciate you letting me come on. And listen, God bless America, and we're here to stay, and we're going to make sure that Trump gets back on the 20th of January.
All right. Same here, Dr. Liu. Thank you very much. All right, folks.
Take care.
We'll be
Simplify,
back after guys. These breaks. Okay, bye-bye. Simplify.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everyone out there. We have our second guest tonight, and she is in, she's in Georgia. I don't know if she's in Atlanta, but she's in Georgia. She's given us several on-site reports. And Miss Leticia Jones, how you doing?
I am doing well. I am doing very well. I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I'm actually outside of one of the polling places. I had to come out because to take this call with you because we can't have our phones on. But we're pretty much so right now everybody is in position to make sure ballots are going where they're supposed to go and the things that need to get done are getting done and they're not cheating. And that is a primary thing right now.
Okay. What about the mail-in ballots? They still allow that, right?
Right. They allow the mail-in ballot. What's interesting about that is that they will be counting up until 3 a.m. this morning.
Okay.
Or in the morning for the mail-in ballot.
Right.
Some of the polling places in a couple of the counties were extended till 7:30 because some of the issues that they were having as well at this particular point. But there are people all over the ground from attorneys to just volunteers that flew in today. They came from all over the country to make sure people have questions in reference to voting, the voting sites, and things of that nature.
Okay. Are they trying to prevent the Trump people from going into the booth and from verifying what's going on? Is there much of that?
Well, right now we'll find out if they're letting us in or not. Because, like I said, for example, I'm at the Shiloh Baptist Church. So once the polls stop, Then at 7:01, we have specific orders in reference to our responsibilities. We can't have our cell phones on. We can't have, you can't take any pictures. We have to actually come to our vehicles. If there's anything that's going on that we need to report, we can only take a paper, pen and paper in with us to write down any irregularities.
Well, I see on Fox News they've got both Democrats ahead.
Well, that's only at 10% of the count right now. That was the last time. Right now, that was about, like I say, just said, about 10%. The ballots we have up until about, I'm looking at this, will go until about 3 o'clock in the morning before we actually find out who a winner is.
Right. How do you feel about it?
Well, being here as long as I have, I think that we're going to do pretty good. I'm expecting us to do good. But you just never know when it comes to these Dominion voting machines, because they are still using those voting machines.
No.
I think this country is going to have to really reevaluate how we are voting in this country if we're going to try to make sure that we are not cheated, pretty much so, because that's what a lot of the people on the ground, the voters, have been concerned with. But the Republicans, I can say, they are turning out. They are turning out in volumes, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I think that is going to take us to where it needs to be,
okay,
or where we need to be across the finish line.
Right. Now, President Trump was there last night in Georgia.
Yes.
How did that go?
Actually, it went well. It was challenging, I think, to Governor Kemp. But I think as far as the momentum and him pushing the motivation of the people, I think it was awesome. I also think that if there were probably more outsiders that came to the rally than there were actually local people at the rally. But it did bring about an energy that is, you know, it's the Trump energy that he always brings to the table, which is very good because people talked about it and they participated from one end of Georgia to the next. And I think it's about 159, 169 counties here. So it's a pretty large county, a pretty large place.
Mm-hmm. There's a big rally in D.C. tomorrow in Washington.
Yes.
Will you wear that?
Yes. And there are a lot of people attending. I can tell you just from our team here, there's probably about 10 people that have that are leaving here and going directly to that rally as well. We had a few that actually left today that headed out to the rally.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are flying in just to participate as well, just because of the adrenaline and just to be a part of making history, because they feel as though that there's a couple of things going on in this country right now. That's this Georgia runoff election.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing. And what's so interesting about this runoff election, Stacey Abrams' campaign manager had mentioned the area that we're in, that it's pivotal in reference to this election. But one thing I will continue to say is there are a lot of minorities that support President Trump and that have supported President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I shared with you before about us being at the Waffle House and an entire staff that was a black staff. The manager came over and said, "Hey, you think our guy's going to be able to pull this off? Because we're rooting for him."
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are still afraid there. You're going to find a lot of Democrats are still voting for the president as well. They may not have switched their party, but they are supporting President Trump and his agenda.
Okay.
And I think that we stand a good chance at this. The key is that we're not cheated. That is the key. And hopefully with the things that we have in place, or prayerfully, shall I say, we should be able to overcome that.
Right. When you walk around and you're talking to people, do you get a sense that Dick Morris show, he said that their survey showed, their polling showed that from 16% to 20% of Democrats said if they would have known this, they would not. If they had to vote today, they would vote for President Trump.
Absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. And what has happened in this country, once they cheated, it actually put a fear amongst voters. And it's just not the Democrat voters, it's the Republican voters as well, because that's the biggest thing. Once we're out, when we're out here talking to people, they're saying, I just hope they're not going to cheat us. Some of the older people, you know, they are mailing their ballots in because they don't want to get exposed to COVID or anything else at this particular point. Mm-hmm. So we did have a large number of people that had ballots and received their absentee ballots also. But I think the majority, they're going to the polls. And, yes, a lot of people are still angry. And I think that these numbers should show their anger at this particular point.
Right. The can you tell our radio listening audience the difference between an absentee ballot and these mail-in ballots?
Well, what happens with the what they have done in Georgia with the mail-in ballots, the absentee ballot, the voter usually requests those. They request them in advance, mm-hmm. In reference to, and they may be out of state or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. With these mail-in ballots, what they've done in the state of Georgia, they had been sending everybody a ballot to vote by mail, mm-hmm. opposed to, and believe it or not, some people have shown us 6 to 7 ballots they may have received, and then all unofficial ballots. That's what the issue is, if they really pay attention to what's going on when you're talking to people. Mm-hmm. I've had a lady that says, look at this, they've sent me 6 of these. And they're not even official ballots. So that's where the confusion comes in as well, in reference to how the Democrats are spending money, how they are actually making people think that it's an official ballot, and in the reality is not an official ballot when they're doing these mail-in ballots. So that's what the difference is. The people are requesting an absentee ballot from their supervisor of elections or the secretary of state, as it may be here in the state of Georgia. And when they request it, then they send them out. But randomly for those mail-in ballots, they have just been mailing ballots out to people. And a lot of the ballots they've been mailing out are not official ballots.
Right. Now, and also, when you have absentee ballot, you need verification. But on these mail-in ballots, you don't. Like I was,
correct.
I was telling you, our audience, and I've been saying this since the election. My buddy in Mobile, his father died 3 months before the election, 3 weeks before the election. She got a mail-in ballot. Okay, his mother, and guess what? She filled it out for herself and her dead husband, and she sent it in. Now, will that be counted? That was a mail-in ballot.
Actually, if it's coming to Georgia, 9 times out of 10, they will count it. But remember, that is one of the things that the president was also stating, that they have to have some form of authentication to verify that these people, this signature matches the signature on the ID or who the registered voter actually is.
Okay, hold on, hold on.
Counting a lot of those ballots.
Hold on, Leticia.
I think that's the crucialness of what we're doing here right now, is just to be able to verify the check and ballot system that they have in place.
All right, hold on a second.
Hold on. All the polling sites are going to do that? No, they're not.
Hold on. Leticia, hold on a second.
Yeah.
We're going to go into a break, and you can continue right after the break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be right back, folks, with Ms. Leticia Jones.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We have on the line, she's in Georgia. She's been there for the past couple months, and she's one of the boots on the ground. Leticia, can you tell us your overall view, or you got any specific thing you want our audience to know about what's going on in Georgia?
Well, I think that right about now, I think that our party has done a good job, but do I think we can be a lot more organized? Of course I do. And I think us as a party, we have to be more structured and prepared, as the Democrats are also. Because when they say boots on the ground, I mean, they put people on the ground as well. But I do know the more people we are able to get out to talk to, the better that it is. And we have to meet people where they are at. which is a good thing. I think that the diversity that we need to bring to this party also is going to continue to grow us as a party and to make us more feasible, shall I say, to everyday people and to what's going on right now as well. I think that the communication that we have going on, you know, this is one of the largest U.S. Senate races in history. It's about, what, $500 million. Mm-hmm. The advertisement is just, man, all over the television. You can't turn your television. It's one ad after the other, one after the other. The phone calls, and I think that we think that that's great, but at the same time, I think that the voters have really gotten to the point where they have been inundated with everything, but at the same time, they realize the seriousness of this election as well, what's going on out here. And most importantly, everybody is concerned about being cheated. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I don't care who you talk to, but even the Democrats that we may talk to. I'm going to tell you something else that I find to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And some of my colleagues and I were having a conversation about it. When we were going to communities, you used to be able to tell a conservative home when you knocked on the door because they may have an American flag and things of that nature, very patriotic. I have found a lot of Democrats with American flags now. And the look is changing in reference to how they are representing themselves also. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that's kind of interesting, but also deceiving to a certain degree. And I don't want us to think that all of the, as far as this U.S. Senate race, we have people that have told us, yes, you know what, I support this candidate or that candidate, for various reasons, and a lot of them are just because they're not educated on what the policies are, to be honest. And I think that's something we have to work on in reference to as Republicans. We have to mm-hmm. really work on getting out what our agenda is, what our missions are, why we believe in what we believe in. And I'll tell you something, George, as you know, I have a team of young black men that are here and being exposed. I find it to be interesting that the Democrat men are asking them questions in reference to why they're Republicans.
Mm.
And they're able to answer them and tell them about their belief systems and tell them why they stand. And it just makes me think that if we have a better form of communication, we can meet a whole lot more voters where they are at in reference to who we are as a party and why we stand the way we stand. And I think this is going to be a great lesson for all of us to learn to continue to grow and to continue to open up our party lines beyond what we see. And it's been a great experience for a lot of these young men out here, especially the young women also. I don't want to leave anybody out. But I think that this has been, it's been interesting to say the least. It has truly been interesting. But we've really conquered our region up here in the North region. We've really just got down and we've been talking to people 8 to 10 times, just really making it happen. And I'm pretty proud to be a part of this team, to be honest.
Great, great. My concern, not only for this election, we know this is a rigged election because I think 90% of it have to do with the mail-in ballots, okay? Because there's no verification, and no matter what the Democrat says, we're not going to believe it. I don't believe one word they say, and you and I know, okay, in those urban areas is full of rigging and corruption. You know what happened in South Florida? Good thing Governor DeSantis, as soon as he was sworn in, he fired Palm Beach County and Broward County. Yeah, he fired those election officers, remember?
Yes, I remember very well. And that is because those are internal. And you're absolutely right, George. We have to make sure we as a country are, we have to redo our election system at this particular point, especially those, what bothers me or concerns me, the Dominion voting machines. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can go in there and check those things out. You're just making sure that they're putting the ballots in as they're supposed to. And in two of the counties, they've already have broken down as well, you know, and that's a red flag to some of us because that's all they needed, some time to reprogram it or to get it going again. I think that, yes, it's very crucial. And the state of Georgia, they have a lot of work to do because they have a mess here that they literally have to clean up. So as far as it being fair, I don't know if I feel like it's going to be a fair election just because I think that they had prepared in advance to make certain that they were going to cheat these elections. Because if anybody remembers, Senator Perdue had won more than 2% of those votes. He shouldn't have been in the runoff anyway.
Correct. 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 And where is Stacey Ingram? Where is she getting all this money from? Who's backing her to send all these ballots out?
Well, as you know, with Stacey Abrams, her sister was also, there were 4,000 questionable ballots in reference to the signatures not being verified. And
right.
That judge that made the decision that those ballots or those voters could still vote was her sister.
Was her sister. I mean, that's a conflict of interest.
So I think that, and then we have Kemp that's here. People fail to realize that Kemp was also the Secretary of State. So it looks like to me like they had an agenda far beyond what we can see. This probably started back when President Trump first won election, to be honest.
Right.
And they had a system in place, and it's in place at this particular time. And the only way it's going to change is, I think, by doing exactly what Governor DeSantis had to do. You're going to have to get rid of the questionable people, and you're going to have to change who's running the system of things here in Georgia.
Right, right. Because, you know, when Governor DeSantis was running, they didn't declare the election right away, remember? And simply because of about five county election officials in those areas where they had a lot of people, Broward, Miami-Dade, Palm Beach. As soon as the governor got rid of them, this past election, Florida was in the top five to call the election right away.
Yep.
And that's
yep,
the difference.
Absolutely.
That's the difference. All right. We appreciate.
I love talking with you. I'll try to keep you posted on any other results as well. But just to let you know that some of us may have to stay over until Friday because they have other things. It's a process. So this is actually my first hands-on experience to seeing what else needs to be done after the election itself. But this is what we were told. So
okay.
I need to run back here because it's my
right.
time now.
Gotcha.
And I thank you for having me, and I will definitely be in touch with you again soon.
All right. We appreciate you. Miss Leticia Jones, who's on the ground in Georgia. She's been there for a couple months. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Blessings.
Blessing, too. Happy New Year. All right, folks. Unbelievable what's happening and what happened in Georgia. It is a shame, and the Democrats should be ashamed. You know, they should all be walking around with their heads down, okay? If they are proud of this, folks, our country is in trouble. And like I was saying, JR last week, Philip, who called in, and we were talking to him, and he was born in Guyana, and he mentioned that this country, the United States of America, is a third world country. It's becoming a third world country. I think it's a fourth world country because I've been overseas, spent many years overseas while I was in the U.S. government, South America, Africa, Southeast Asia. All right, folks, it's about time for us to get out of here, but we'll see you same time next week. Until then, Vaikon Dales, everybody.